Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Good morning, everybody. A few announcements this morning. We have a prayer text group. Send Mikey your text messages for the prayer text group. As soon as this weather cooperates, we're going to start meeting at the church at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings for a prayer time before Sunday school. And Evan Strom is the Bible trivia winner. And there's new rules on the app for the Bible trivia. And next Saturday, the 22nd, men's group will be meeting, and I strongly encourage all the ladies to send their men next Saturday, and all the men to come there, because it's a good message, I believe. So my wife and son tell me it's a good message, but I strongly encourage everybody to be there. And I wanted you all here so much this morning because I wanted to share with you guys. February 18th is the day that Adrian and I renewed our vows right here at this church, right standing there. And I shared this with a small group this morning, but even after renewing those vows, it was a rocky road. There was ups and downs, and at times we both wanted to give up and go our separate ways. But we were brought to this church, reunited in this church, and this church family used God in our lives in such a powerful way and gave us just enough to keep praying for each other. She was praying for me when I was a jerk, and I was praying for her when she wasn't quite my queen. And not knowing that each other was praying for each other, God just moved in our lives. He just grabbed us by the collar and said, straighten up, and moved in our lives. And there's not a day that goes by that her and I are not talking and praising God. The evenings when we're home together, it's just our conversations revolve around the three of us, her, me, and God. And oh, there's so much I could say, but he's moved in our lives, and I want you all to know that put him first, keep your eyes focused on him, and things will get there. It'll be great. So I'm gonna pray for the sound team and the service. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with Adavi and Nathan as they operate the sound system. And Lord, I pray that you are heard through James' voice today, the message that he has, that you've laid on James, Lord. I encourage everybody who hears this today to take it to heart and just let God move in your lives. I ask this in Jesus' holy name, amen.
Come, let's worship our King. Come, let's bow at His feet. Good morning. God, it's a little frustrating sometimes when weather comes and things don't seem to go as we plan, but we know that you're the one that controls the weather. It's your voice that calls the wind. Jesus calmed the storm, and we know that you can work mightily in situations like this. And I pray, we ask that your word is going out today online and families are coming together, that spouses that normally come alone are with their spouse and together they're watching, and that hearts will be inspired to come into this church. Father, you have the ability to take what we see as a calamity and turn it into a great blessing, because that's how you work and that's what you do. And Father, we give you all the glory for the calamities and for how you take a mess like marriages and you turn them into beautiful testimonies. And I ask a special prayer on the marriages in this church. May we see people coming together and putting you first. Because when wives put you first, they pray for their husbands, and they become better wives for their husbands. And when husbands put you first, they cherish their wives. And may they come together and understand one another better in truth and in spirit, the way you intended marriage to be. A mini example of how you love us and how you want us to be committed to you. Father, may we come together in spirit as Jesus prayed for us, one in him as he is in you. I ask for those hearts that are lonely and lost right now, for them to be comforted. For those who are sick and healing, Father, we want them to be healed. We ask for your healing. We ask for wisdom and discernment from their doctors and for their caregivers, Father. But through all things, we ask that they praise you, that they give glory to you, that through them, they are able to still bring others into the glory of Jesus. Through whatever comes our way, I pray that we use the tragedies, we use the heartaches, we use everything we can to bring glory to your name, Father. For those seeking wisdom and discernment, Father, you say you will give abundantly to those who ask, and I pray for those to ask who are needing it, Father. You are a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I ask for those who are walking in darkness to come to you, to come into the light. I ask for our eyes and ears to be open and hearts softened, Father, and for the gospel message to go out through all your churches and through all your people, Father. And we see a revival, hearts on fire for you. I ask this for the glory of our King, our Savior, the one who lives, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian. I wanted to remind you that last week I asked you to be praying about these 1024 groups based on Hebrews 1024, a verse that calls us to spur each other on. I'm praying that we would form these accountability groups and we would do just that, hold each other accountable. Hold each other accountable to be in the Word, to be reading the Word, to share what we're learning, to pray for each other. So would you pray about that? Would you pray for two, three other people to be in a group with that you would talk to on a daily basis and share what you're doing? I'd encourage you to do it with your family as well. But these groups will be based on men with men and women with women. But I think God wants to do this in our church, and I want to encourage you to find a group and be a part of the group. And if you can't find a group or you don't know anybody to be a part of, you can just let me know, and we'll help you plug you into a great group. This message is about the glory of God. And there is this thread that I am just noticing more and more that runs through the entire Bible that I think we don't completely grasp. At least I haven't. It's the thread of God's glory. What is glory? I've heard it defined as God's weight and worth. We get that from the Old and New Testament. The word in Hebrew in the Old Testament for glory translates to weight. If you've ever been or seen a show from the 60s, you've probably heard people say this, "Wow, man, that was heavy," right? And it meant that that concept was something big, something hard to grasp. It made you really think. The New Testament word for glory is tied to a good opinion of someone, an opinion that honors someone. It's about someone being worthy of praise. Thank you for those songs that were sung. So glory is about weight and worth. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but the glory of God is something you can feel. It is a spiritual heaviness, right, that comes upon you with this realization that God is beyond anything and everything that we know, and you just want to bow down before him and throw your crowns at his feet. As you read the Bible, you learn that we were created to give him glory, but the biggest proponent of the glory of God is actually God himself. And when you hear that, it's tempting to say, oh, I would think that God would be more humble than that, but he is God. And there is none like him. He moves his way into our lives and calls us, commands us to give him glory. And that's a good thing. Sometime last year, there was a pastor's daughter who was driving on the freeway and she got into a horrible car accident. There was a doctor that just happened to be a couple cars behind her, and that doctor stopped, witnessed the accident, right, and stepped in. That person barged in, put himself into the scene because he knew who he was and what he had to offer. He knew his weight and his worth. No one would say, I can't believe that doctor butted in, right? We would say, we're glad he did. We would say, please step in a situation like that. Please push people aside. Do whatever it takes to get yourself into that situation because we know that you're here for our good. It's the same thing with God. He is the source of life. He is the source of all hope, of all peace. He has weight and worth like no one else. And if we worship him, if we align our lives to him, our lives will be far better. Our lives will be filled with purpose, with meaning, with significance. So he busts in time and time again, and he calls us to give him glory because at the end of the day, he wants what is best for us. So this morning, I just want to trace God's glory in a way through the Bible. I had 20 pages of all passages about God's glory, but I've narrowed it down. Where does it start? Genesis 1:1, right? It says, in the beginning, God. There was one being in the beginning. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He deserves all the glory. God was alone in the beginning. Everything was created through him. Mankind attempts to take that glory away from God, right? Our kids are taught that God didn't create anything. It just happened by chance. The question that an evolutionist can't answer, though, is where did everything come from, right? How can something come from nothing? Evolutionists will try to turn that question back to you. Right? Well, where did God come from? Who made God? But that falsely believes that God is a created being. God is from everlasting to everlasting. So he has always been and he always will be. He has never been created. And so he alone deserves all glory. We see God glorified through creation, right? Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. The cosmos is a billboard for God's glory. The heavens are continually declaring the glory of God. The big question for astronomers, the big question for cosmologists is, are there more people in the universe? Surely there must be, because the universe is just way too big to just be about this one planet, Earth, right? The part of the universe that we can observe is estimated at 2 trillion galaxies. And each one of those galaxies has 100 billion stars. It's incredible. So we have spent billions looking for other people, looking for intelligent life, and we have found nothing, right? Maybe we started with the wrong premise, the wrong mindset, because we were thinking that if this is just a home for us, it is way too big. But what if it's not about us, right? But what if the purpose of the cosmos is to declare the glory of God? Then it'd be the perfect size for that, right? The perfect size to declare his glory, because it boggles the human mind. The heavens declare the glory of God. We see glory in mankind. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, right? The world says life is about you, your will, your kingdom, but it also says you're just here by accident. No, my friends. You aren't here by chance. You aren't random. You were made in the image of God. Therefore, it's in our DNA to point to him and to reflect our glory to his. In the very beginning of the story of faith, in the story of redemption and salvation, it started with this guy named Abraham, right? The glory of God appeared to him and called him. Acts 7:2-3 says this, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. The glory of God appeared to Abraham and got his attention. God called him out through that. Because of the glory of God appearing to him, he left his people. He left his country. He became the father of a great nation. That nation, though, was put into slavery in Egypt, but God rescued him. Why did God rescue Egypt? Why did God rescue Israel out of Egypt? Is it because they deserved it? No. Psalm 106, 7 through 8 says this, when our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his power known. He saved them because of his name, because of his glory. He couldn't be the God that failed, even though his people rejected him, even though his people forgot about him, even though his people ignored him. Despite that, despite those things, God rescued his people. Why? For his glory. For the sake of his name, he delivered them. He parted the Red Sea for the sake of his name. They didn't deserve it, but that's the thing with God's glory. We continually benefit from his glory. Even though we don't deserve it, we benefit from it. Time and time again, they were stiff-necked, they complained, they rebelled, they served other gods, they rejected his mercy and his goodness, and yet he still saved them. They tried to push him away, and he pushed back into their lives. He did that for his glory, for the sake of his name. Thank God he inserted himself into that mess, right? Into that disaster, because he knew that he was the only one that could do what had to be done to save not only those people, but to bless all future people of this world. Some of you are reading through your Bible. Notice throughout the Old Testament how God steps into things and does things for his name's sake. Because God is not about sharing his glory with anyone or anything. Notice how many times the Israelites benefit from God not allowing his name to be desecrated. God is all about his glory. We're all about glory too. Before we come to know the Lord, we desire our own glory. Look at me, worship me, glorify me, right? That is our flesh, that is our nature. But when we come to know him, when we pick up our cross, when we die to ourselves and take on his name, when we bear his name, right? His renown becomes the desire of our hearts. Isaiah 26:8. Yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. We desire his glory so much. We want to see it, right? We want to experience it. Do you remember Moses? Moses had a face-to-face relationship in the presence of God. Even though he experienced that, do you remember what he asked God? Exodus 33:18. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." That was the desire of his heart. That should be the desire of our hearts. Not let me be glorified, not point to me, not make this all about me. No, Lord, show me your glory, right? We should want to see that. We should want that to be on display for everyone. But do you know what we do? We trade his weight and his worth, the glory of God, for man-made things. We trade the glory of God for idols. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. There's a warning when we do that, right? God says this in different ways all throughout Scripture. The first commandment, Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. Why does he say you shall have no other gods before me? Because we put other gods before him, above him. And when we do that, we trade what's best for less. And we move away from our purpose. What is our purpose in Christ? To point to God, to give him glory. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, right? Everyone who bears the name of God, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We were created in his image. We were created for his glory. James, I don't know what my purpose is. I haven't figured that out. I haven't figured out what God's will is for my life. Well, good news. I can help you with that today. We can solve that today. God's purpose for your life is that you understand you were created, formed, and made for his glory. Well, that doesn't answer the question, what am I supposed to do? Maybe that's not the right question. Maybe that's not the most important question. The most important question is not, are you doing the right thing, but why are you doing the thing? Your purpose is for his glory. That answers the why, right? That will rule out some things. There will be some things that maybe that you can't do job-wise because God would not be glorified through those things. But there are a lot of things that you can do for his glory. People might see being a pastor as a job for his glory, but you could also say that about being a dentist. You could be a dentist for his glory, right? You could be a bus driver for his glory. You could be a teacher for his glory. You could be in construction. You could be just about whatever it is out there. You could do it for his glory. You can play sports for his glory. You may be playing sports today because it's fun. It's good for you. You learn about what it means to be on a team, right? But you can play sports and give God glory. Whose glory are you playing for? When you think about playing for the glory of God, right, that will determine how hard you work, how you handle a loss, who will get the glory that is thrown your way, right? I'd love to see all the football teams, both in college and the NFL, directing all that glory that's directed at them towards Jesus Christ, right? They are giving all glory to God. And they're doing it while they play. It's all about the why. You can be a pastor and be all about getting the glory, right? You can come up here and sing worship songs. You can sing songs with the best words in them, but you can sing them to be applauded by men for your own glory. You can serve in ministry positions and take the praise. It's not about the what so much. It's about the why. Those of us who bear his name were created to give him glory. The important question is not about what you do, but why you do it. That's great news if you have a job that you're not crazy about, right? You have the ability to do it for the glory of God, and that can change your whole attitude about it, right? I had a job in fast food, was there for a long time, and for a long time I did not do that for the glory of God. You can ask Howard, I was a stinker. But God called me to do that job for his glory, and that changed everything. I began to pray for every person that came through that Taco Bell. I got to talk to my coworkers about God in that Ashland Taco Bell. And through that, I got some amazing friends, some amazing relationships. My job was so much fuller. My job was so much more important. My job was so much better when that happened, right? There was meaning and purpose behind making tacos. We always benefit when we point to him. Want to see another benefit to God's glory? Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath, or the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to destroy you completely. Anyone besides me benefited from that? I should have been wiped out. Right? But thank God for his glory because it delayed his wrath. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Anybody feel like they're in a furnace? Right? We always want to know why. Why are we in there? Why, God? For my own sake, I do this. That's why. God allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be put in a furnace, but he went in there too. Right? And by doing that, he showed us he will always be with us. Maybe with the furnace that you're in, the question isn't why is this happening? Maybe it's what are you accomplishing through this, Lord? How is your glory going to be shown through this? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith, man, it was refined, right, through that fire. Even in the furnace, we can benefit from God's glory. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. I tell you what, if anyone sets himself up around you to be glorified, run. Run from them. God does not share. Christ's birth gave glory to God. The heavenly host appeared, do you remember, right? And the first thing that they said was, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because everything exists for the glory of God, including the coming of Jesus Christ, right? How much have we benefited from that glory? Well, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Again, we always get the benefit from God's glory. Christ's birth gave glory, gave God glory, and Christ is the glory of God, right? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, God's glory is displayed in the face of Christ. God's glory is displayed in the face of Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says this, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification from sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." The majesty Jesus sat down next to, right? The glory. What are miracles for? Do you remember when Jesus healed the paralyzed man? Mark 2, 11 through 12 ends and says this, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." What are miracles really for? Are they for us? Or are they for his glory? Well, both. But first and foremost, for his glory. I think a lot of times we're praying for miracles, but they're just focused in on us. And his glory doesn't even factor into it, right? A lot of times we want to be a part of God's miracles, right? We want to have them happen through us. And I think sometimes deep down we want it for our glory. That will not happen. When you understand God's glory is the most important thing, right? More important than even healing, it changes what you pray for. I heard a pastor that went to a children's hospital, and there was a 9-year-old boy there. He had this horrible cancerous tumor mass right behind his eye. The pastor and the other men that were with him went to him and asked this young guy, "What do you want us to pray for?" You know what he said? "Pray that God will use me to bring glory to Jesus in this hospital." 9 years old, blew the pastor away. He said, "Okay, we'll pray that." And he asked, "Is there anything else you'd like us to pray for?" And the boy said, "No." That pastor saw that young guy many times over the next few years. He was sometimes better, sometimes worse. And after a few years, he ended up dying. The world would say, "Oh, what a shame." But that boy is alive today, and his life has impacted people for the glory of God like few others ever will. Jesus got a message about a good friend of his named Lazarus that was sick, really sick, right? And Jesus told this to his followers, John 11:4, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Right? I have a faith that believes that God can heal. I have experienced miracles, right? But I also know there is no diagnosis coming to those that know Christ that is going to end in death. Not one. I also believe that every one of them, whether there is a healing now or not, can be for the glory of God. That young boy impacted the life of that pastor. That young boy that I've never met has impacted my life, right? And I know he impacted the people around him in that hospital and the people around him that knew him in his life. For the glory of God. May our lives and may our deaths bring glory to him. Peter was crucified upside down, right? And his death brought God glory. Jesus himself died for God's glory. Jesus facing death, we've looked at this over the last several weeks, right? John 12:27-28. "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I want us to let that sink in. We tend to drift towards this idea that this is all about us, right? We have to be careful because that's what we can make it sometimes. This Bible is for me. It has all these promises for me. Church is for me. I'll let you know when I like it. I'll let you know when I don't like it. I'll come when I can. I'll not come when I don't feel it, right? I like this music, but I sure don't like that music, right? I'll sit in the seat and not sing because I don't like it. We think the cross is all about us. We think heaven and a new earth is all about me. But the more I read of this book, the more I see it is all about him. God has created a church that should be all about him. He's created us to be all about him. We are the major beneficiaries of everything, right? We're the major beneficiaries of the cross. But it's all about him. Jesus died for the glory of God. God did love us, so he sent his son, right? But look what his son said. Father, glorify your name. So that when I display and demonstrate your love for a fallen people, when I pay the price that no one else can pay to redeem those that you created, when I break the chains that imprison people and set them free because we love them, right? When that happens, you get all the glory. You get all the praise. When they nail me on that cross, you be glorified. When I die and breathe my last breath, I'm doing it all for your glory so that the world will see there is only one God and no God like this. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. We usually stop there when we quote it. At least I do. That's where I stop. But keep going. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Everything ties to God's glory. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Here is the weight and worth of God, and we miss out because we choose to compromise. We choose to sin. That's the effect that sin has. This world tries to puff us up and make everything about us, right? And we fall for it because we're not very smart at times. This is us, Psalm 106, verse 20. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. We could have had our glorious God, right? We could have had him, but instead we got a bull eating grass. Sin separates us from the glory of God, but thank God the gospel reconnects us to his glory. Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. There's so much more that we just don't have time to look at when it comes to the glory of God. First Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's a great verse, right? Can I just challenge you? Make God's glory everything about your life, right? Whatever you do, point to him. You're going to have a choice today. You're going to have a choice tomorrow and every day you live and in everything that you do to either do those things for your glory or for his. Be careful because God will not share his glory with anyone. People around you will bring you glory, right? Do whatever you can to redirect that glory, point that glory back to the one who deserves it. If you do that, your life will have meaning and purpose like it has never had before. You'll discover why you were created. Why are you here, right? You'll have the honor of pointing others to the one who saved you, to the one who set you free, to the one who has set you apart, right? My friends, that is the prayer for my church, for our church. It revolves around Isaiah 26:8. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart. Is that the desire of your heart? Let us pray that it is, right? Let that be the Willard Church of the Nazarene. Let that be each and every one of us who bears his name. Let us not bear your name in vain. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we give you all glory. You are the creator of the universe. We look up into the sky. We've seen the pictures from the Hubble telescope, and we are blown away at your majesty. It is unfathomable what you've created. You not only created the universe, but you created us. You created us in your image, Lord. There is a desire in us for glory, but help us to die to that and redirect all that glory to you. Father, you came down. You died so that we could be reunited with you. Father, let us point to you. Let us point to the God of the universe who did that. Give us opportunities to do that. Give us opportunities to get glory and redirect it to you. Father, let us never be happy with a crown on our head. Let us always throw it at your feet. Father, I never want to keep that crown. Let that be us. Let that be the desire of every person in this church, every person that's listening through this live stream today or watch this video. Let our purpose be all about your glory and not our own, Lord. Father, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. In the name above all names, we pray to the God of glory. Amen.